This is Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR. This program content is made possible in part by WKAR listeners.
Welcome to Sports Talk 870. I'm your host, Earl Robinson, and I'll be with you until 2 o'clock discussing sports with you. So just give us a call at 355-9527 or toll free 877-9527-870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. We've got a lot to talk about today. We're going to start out talking a little bit of Tigers baseball with our friend Rico Beard out of Fox Sports Detroit. And so let's bring in Rico. Rico, how you doing, buddy?
Good, Earl. How are you?
Okay. You have a good weekend?
It wasn't bad. I think I overworked myself, felt a little bit under the weather, but I'll survive.
Yeah, okay. Well, the Tigers are starting. It looks like, I don't want to get too excited, but it looks like they're finally starting to turn the corner and winning a little bit.
Yeah, the beauty of it is, Earl, that they're beating the teams that they're supposed to beat.
Yes.
And in baseball, if you could just beat the teams you're supposed to beat and get a split, you know, then you'll be fine. And unfortunately, they can't play the Colorado Rockies every game, or else they would totally get this ship right. But it looks as if they are finally getting some key hitting and some key fielding in certain spots. Valverde, I don't know what it is about being a Tigers closer that just makes you uneasy. But, that blown save of his, he has to stop that. But other than that, this team is finally looking like they want to turn the corner. But I'm like you, Earl. I don't want to speak too soon, because every time we think that, they go back showing that they're still the Tigers sometimes.
Exactly. And that division is not as bad as we were led to believe at the beginning of the season. How everybody just trashed the division, all the teams in there. It was just the Tigers and everybody else. And now it's at least a three-team race with the Cleveland and Chicago in there.
I know. You got to wonder if Cleveland's going to do what Cleveland did last year, where they hung around for about half the season, and then after the All-Star break, they looked in the mirror and saw that they were the Indians. So I don't think that Cleveland will stick around. Chicago may stick around and make this a battle with Detroit. Cleveland, you got to show me. I would have to look at the standings and still see them there in September before I believe that Cleveland's legit.
Well, they might have learned a lot from last year. I guess that will find that out, of course, when that time comes around, if they have enough strength, if they learned anything from what they went through last year. And maybe they did.
Yeah, maybe. But you're right. I think the division is a lot more difficult than we were led to believe. Everybody had them penciled into the playoffs. It was like World Series tickets were getting printed down here once they got Prince Fielder. And then we found out that, you know, you got to play these games. And it's not softball city. You need pitching. And the pitching has not been as stellar. I mean, heck, Verlander even went through a bad month of May where I don't think he won a game. So I think, you know, if you can get Scherzer to do what he did yesterday along with Verlander, you should be okay. And that should be enough to carry them and at least get them back. The first thing they got to do is get back over 500. After they do that, now you can start eyeing winning that division.
Yes, and hopefully they'll get back to 500 eventually. I mean, you know, they've had a lot of teams in front of them are giving them trouble. So hopefully they'll like you say, they should. Hopefully they'll start consistently beating the teams they should beat. If not, then they can't win that division, can they?
No, they can't, because what'll happen is they'll become underachievers. And I got a feeling, Earl, that if we look up in September and they're 8 games out of it, Dombrowski just may relieve Leland of his position, because they believe that they've given him enough talent. Illich is really trying to make this last push to win a World Series title, and they feel that he has enough to compete. I think that they should be even at 500. They should be at 500 by the All-Star break coming up next week, in a couple of weeks. That should be the goal for them. They're only 2 games out right now. Get to 500, because you're not that – I think they're only like 2 games out of first, or 2 or 3 games out of first. So they're not that far away.
Yeah.
So, but the key is just stop beating yourself. Beat these bad teams. Stop losing to the Pirates and the Cubs and teams like that in the National League and stop losing to the bad teams in the American League and just go out there and you'll get it.
Yeah, well, let's hope that they do. Hey, well, let's talk a little bit about the auto race. I mean, it was great. Dale Earnhardt finally won a race after 4 years, and he won at Michigan yesterday. Great race for him, and it was nice to see him finally get into the winner's circle.
Yeah, it was. And, you know, I guess it was a little fitting that he finally got his first race, and he won on Father's Day, after what tragically happened to his father. So I think in everybody's mind, whether you wanted him to win or not, you kind of felt good to see him at the winner's circle and him winning that race. So, yeah, you know, because for a while you were starting to wonder, I mean, was he done? I mean, you know, after he was doing well, like, you know, back in the day when Jeff Gordon was winning every race, and now all of a sudden those two are just kind of falling into the middle of the pack.
Yes, that's for sure. And just like with Tiger, I mean, Tiger had a first great 2 days, and then he went back to playing like he's been playing most of the time since his latest comeback. He's been terribly inconsistent, and I don't know, that might be the Tiger we'll see. I mean, I expect he'll win from time to time, but I don't know if he's ever going to be the consistent golfer that he used to be.
Yeah, and what happens is we all, you know, they become our heroes, and we see them in their prime, but I think Tiger Woods may be going the way of Mike Tyson, whereas once he was deemed beatable, he was beatable. Nobody was afraid. It was fear. Just like Tyson, fear is what kept him winning games. And for Tiger, it was fear that kept him winning the golf tournaments, because you didn't want to get paired up against him because he would psych you out mentally. And just like with Tyson, when he would walk into the ring, you start thinking to yourself, why am I fighting this man? Let me just fall down and collect my millions. But once they became beatable, then everybody saw, you know what, I can beat him just like anybody else can.
Yep.
And I think, like, for Tiger, I don't think that he'll ever have that amount of greatness that he had before. And
right.
I think some of it may go with the fact that, you know, ever since he was taken off of some type of performance-enhancing drug, his game hasn't been the same either. He hasn't been able to recuperate as fast as he used to.
That's
so
true.
I think that has something to do with it too.
Yeah, I mean, that leg injury that he had, he's finally getting better and getting around it. But boy, he suffered some injuries as especially me. I know you don't know it, but when you get older, it takes a lot longer to heal from those injuries. So I know you're not in that class yet.
Earl, what are you, about, what, 35, 36?
I wish. Just add another 30.
You had a meet you when you were 10, right?
Oh, shoot. But, yeah, he's
I think that I don't think the Tiger will be as dominant as he once was. I think that's a thing of the past.
Yeah.
You know, we'll be telling people how, he used to just intimidate people. But he'll occasionally rise up, and I think that he'll end up getting that majors record, but it's going to take some time.
Mm-hmm.
He won't do it, you know, when he had that Tiger Slam and won all the tournaments within 12 months. I don't think you'll see that ever again.
Yeah.
But, he's going to rise up, and he may win the Masters or the U.S., you know, all of that stuff. He may win it, but just not the way he used to do it.
Oh, that's for sure. Hey, I've been very impressed with the basketball playoffs. I mean, Miami's up 2-1. I know it still astounds me that there are so many Miami haters out there, LeBron haters, because he's still, to me, he's the best player in the world, and right behind him is Kevin Durant, and those are the top two players, and them playing in the finals is great. And the defense, I've been really impressed. They've been playing outstanding defense in this series.
They have, but you're going to always have LeBron haters because you're going to have people who just didn't like the decision. They didn't like what he said last year after they lost about, you know, go back to your life.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he keeps putting his foot in his mouth.
Yeah, so he does.
he draws that heat, so no pun intended, but it's like he just doesn't know when to shut up sometimes. And I think that you got people who just want to see him fail.
Yeah, that's
and
for sure.
And it's not that there's big-time Thunder fans. It's like people weren't Mavs fans last year, they just didn't want us to go to Miami. Mm-hmm. I mean, coming out saying, we're not only going to win one, two, three, we talking right. six and seven. Like, mm-hmm. Well, you know, how about you win one?
Yeah.
Let's start with one.
Yeah. Now he's finding out how hard it is to win one. I mean, maybe he didn't think it was that going to be that hard for him with his buddies together, but it's always hard winning that title.
And fans appreciate humility. Mm-hmm. And the fact that he came out and those guys, you know, it was almost like they cheated coming together to play together because, you know, that's just not something I often wonder, like, you know, what would have happened if back in the day Isaiah was able to talk Magic and Bird to come to the Pistons? You know, it wouldn't have been fair. Mm-hmm. But the fact that you got there, it's like you're buying your championship and you started celebrating already. That ticked a lot of people off, Earl. And you want some humility and you want to see guys go through the struggle mm-hmm. instead of just seeing them get it. I mean, it probably felt better for Dallas because they have been trying for years and years and years to get it, whereas Miami, it just looks like, oh, you're just buying a title like, you know, the Yankees mm-hmm. doing baseball. You're just buying that title. Mm-hmm. So I think that's where the hate comes from.
Yeah, and it's not going down, but, boy, I must admit I've really been impressed, though, by the way they've played, the way Miami and Oklahoma City, they've both played very well. They've both put up some very strong numbers. The defense has been great in this year. I know a lot of the fans don't really appreciate defense, but these two teams are really playing outstanding defense.
Outstanding defense. A questionable call at the end of game two, but there is some very good defense being played. In Oklahoma, I think it comes down to tomorrow's game. If they can tie it up, make this a best 2 out of 3 with 2 games in Oklahoma City,
yeah.
I think they have a chance. I think if they fall down 3-1,
yeah, it's over.
I think psychologically, Miami will be hoisting the trophy at home.
Yep. I agree with you on that, and it certainly could be. I know it's going to be hard. Usually we see the road teams win one of these 3 games since they changed it to 2-3-2. At least the road game usually gets one of those 3 games. So I won't be surprised if Oklahoma City gets one of these next 2 games. But
but the thing is, if it's 3-1 and they win game 5, uh-huh. it's hard to win 3 in a row.
Yes, it is.
I mean, I know the Pistons did it back in the day when they won 4 in a row, but that's a difficult task to do.
Yes, it is.
It's very difficult to win 3 in a row in the NBA Finals.
Oh, no doubt about that. It'll be a struggle, that's for sure. Hey, how about Webb Simpson over the weekend? Did you follow much of the golf? I mean, he really he came out the 9th player in a row to win the U.S. Open. They've had 9 players. The last 9 years, someone different was won the Open every year.
Now, I didn't follow it because, I'm not rich like you, Earl. I don't have 20 TVs in my living room. So something had to go. So I was following the results on Twitter. But, I was watching, I flip every now and then to see when Tiger was up if he was going to make some type of charge. And, I saw that he wasn't. So, that was actually very good for the city of Charlotte with him and Dale Earnhardt Jr. both winning events on the same day.
Yes. Hey, Rico, I want to thank you for joining me. It's always a pleasure talking with you, my friend. I know the season is coming up pretty soon. We'll be seeing a lot more of each other, that's for sure.
It is. I was just up there this last weekend, so I will be seeing you soon, Earl.
Okie dokie.
Hey, Earl.
Uh-huh.
Have you gotten over to see the scoreboards in the stadium?
Not yet.
Man, it's going to look nice. I was in there Saturday. It's going to look really nice.
Okay.
Really nice. But, anytime, Earl. Anytime.
Okay.
You know the number.
Yep. We'll talk to you later, buddy. Okay. Right. Bye-bye. And that's Rico Beard from Fox Sports Detroit, 20 minutes after the hour of 1 o'clock. Stay tuned for more sports talk after this short break right here on AM 870 WKAR.
In the coming week on Talk of the Nation, what happens in Egypt now after what some are calling a military coup? Voters in Greece take sides on the euro. Nuclear talks with Iran seem to falter before they begin. And do we need to establish international ground rules for cyber warfare? I'm Neil Conan, that and political junkie Ken Rudin, in the week ahead on Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
And that's Talk of the Nation coming up today at 2 o'clock right here on AM 870 WKAR.
This is Scott Pohl with the weather. Today will be partly sunny with a high in the upper 80s and a chance of rain and thunderstorms. A chance of rain and thunderstorms tonight, too, partly cloudy with a low of 71. Mostly sunny tomorrow and windy, the high 91 with a heat index up to 96 degrees on Tuesday.
And give us a call. Our lines are open, 355-9527 or toll-free, 877-9527-870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. Well, let's go to our next guest, our good friend Larry Lage from the Associated Press. And bring in Larry, talk a little bit of Tiger baseball and look ahead to what the Lions expect in the fall. But Larry, how you doing, my friend?
I'm good. I'm officially old, not as old as you, but when it rains, I'm glad for my beat-up lawn and trees.
Well, that's good, yeah.
Pouring it in Ann Arbor. I'm not sure what East Lansing, but it's
pouring here. Raining here. Not real strong, but it's raining here a little bit. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, the Tigers, it looks like I was telling Rico, they finally starting. It appears that they've turned the ship around. They've won three of the last series. It looks like they're headed in the right direction, finally.
Yeah, I think they are. And actually, a guy I'm writing about today, I think, is a big reason they've won 6 out of 8, and that's Austin Jackson. He's just really a special player that they can't replace in center field. And at the plate, where he's really improved. His average is way up. His strikeouts are way down. His power's up. A lot of that, he and Lloyd McClendon credit his little slide step instead of taking a big kick like he used to. And, it's just not a guy they can replace easily. I think the same degree with Pfister. And when Scherzer pitches well, all of a sudden this team is doing, kind of what they expected them to do. And, it's just early, and how long the baseball season is, and yet people in today's day and maybe always just like to dissect every day, and it's not that sport.
Yes, yes, you really shouldn't dissect every day. I know so many people do, and so many people, I guess I'm getting a little close to being tired of hearing about, get rid of Jim Leland. Hey, he's managed the same way he has for all these other years. Some years your team does it and wins, and some years they don't, but he's still got a pretty good team this year.
Well, he does, and the thing about getting rid of Jim Leland, that's kind of the easy way out. The one thing they could do, and yet, I haven't looked at, I think they're something like 30 and 33, so they got more or less 100 games left, and that's an eternity. But there are obviously high expectations for this team. Mm-hmm. I think what a lot of people don't realize or didn't realize or take into account was the loss of Victor Martinez, because really, Prince Fielder for Victor Martinez is a little bit of a wash, and that was a big. It's not like they just added Prince Fielder to the team they had last year. They made up a big hole and probably did a little bit more than that with Prince Fielder. But that was a big loss that again, like Austin Jackson, you just can't replace.
Yes, and unfortunately, Prince and Cabrera, they're not the strongest fielders. I mean, the defense is probably a little bit weaker than it was last year.
Yeah, it is, and yet, I covered Friday night's game, and early in the game, Cabrera dove in the hole and made a throw from his knees on, I think it was Scudero, and then in one of the more unique double plays I've seen, it was a 5-3-1, I believe, double play. The third baseman started it, and I'm getting my numbers mixed up, but Giambi was up, so the whole field was shifted. So Cabrera was more or less 3-5-1. It was a 3-5-1 double play. Cabrera covered second on the play, and then made the relay throw to the pitcher. So it was a 3-5-1. I don't think I've ever seen that. Have you, Earl?
No, I haven't seen one like that before.
And there was also another force out at home with a play at first. It was, the great thing about baseball, and Ernie Harwell said this best, you're going to see something you haven't seen. And if Ernie Harwell could say that, anybody could say that, because he saw thousands of games.
Yes, yes, he did.
You just never know what you're going to see at the ballpark, and that's what makes it so great. And, you know, I don't think people should stop dissecting the Tigers every day, but stop trying to make a bold prediction like they're all the way back or they're definitely done when there's 100 games left.
Yes, and people do the same thing about the Lions. We're starting to hear all these predictions. People are putting the Lions on a pedestal, and I say, you got to slow down a little bit. The Lions aren't there yet. They're moving in the right direction, but they're certainly not there at this point in time.
Yeah, you know, I don't think you could say that their secondary is going to be better than last year, and their secondary was a big problem. So, you know, Start there. But offensively, if they can keep the backfield healthy and keep Stafford upright, I mean, they're going to be dynamite. I mean, they were dynamite last year offensively, even if they couldn't run the ball. And, you know, there's no reason to believe they're not going to be any better. One guy to really watch from minicamp, you know, and he wasn't doing everything because they're trying to bring him back slowly, but if Broyles stays healthy, and I think he will, he might be a steal as a guy who will more or less be a fourth receiver with Titus Young. Boy, and when you, you go Calvin Johnson, Nate Burleson, Titus Young, Ryan Broyles, you know, Scheffler or Pettigrew, I mean, that's a nightmare matchup for most NFL teams.
Yeah, that'll be very special. If everybody can stay healthy, that's the key, of course. If they can all stay healthy, yes, they'll have some very dangerous matchups that other teams are going to have to face. Now, do you think that the Lions and maybe just overall in pro football, that is, the game is going to stay the same? We've got all these concussion suits and everything. Do you think the game is going to stay the same, or do you think that we're going to see some changes?
You know, I don't know what they can do, honestly. It's just such a violent game. The one interesting thing that I've heard thrown out there that I don't think will ever fly, but it's pretty interesting to think about, what if they went back to leather helmets? You wouldn't be leading with your helmet as much.
Yeah, that's true.
Because that's your head.
Yeah.
You have to have some kind of face mask, but and again, it probably would never fly. But
yeah.
You certainly wouldn't be using your head as a weapon if it just had a little leather on it. But you know, these guys are just so much bigger, stronger, faster,
right,
well-conditioned gladiators, more or less. I don't know where this is headed in the courts, but on the field, I don't see how you can protect these players any more than they already are. Other than making it harder to go back in the game if you have concussion symptoms. You know, I think that is the one thing that will get better, but I don't think you'll ever cure it, because if a guy wants to stay in the game and he's saying what he needs to say on the sideline to get back in the game, it's going to be hard to change that culture.
Yes, that's the biggest thing, is changing that culture. I mean, we've seen that from elementary school all the way up. Kids, if they get hurt, I remember when I got a concussion in the game, I didn't want to come out the game, but
I definitely had at least one when I played high school football at Ann Arbor Pioneer on a kickoff one time. I was running full speed. This was back when I was in shape, and without stopping, slowing down at all, I made the play, and I think I led with my head, and I came off and saw black and white shining stars. I didn't come out of the game. Thankfully, we were on defense there, and I played offensive guard, so I had a series to kind of get my wits about me. But, and my son plays flag football, five and 7 year old. And these kids have some contact just because you can't avoid it. And he took some hits and he would get up and not want to come out, I'm not going to take him out. I mean, I don't think he had a concussion, obviously, but it's just one of those things. I don't know how it's going to shake out over time. The real interesting thing to watch is the class action lawsuits that are building, with thousands of former players suing the NFL and the teams for how their concussions were managed back when they were called dingers and bell ringers, and they just, you played through them. That was part of the game. But now we know that you can have serious consequences. And when you've got Junior Seau and Dave Duerson and other people killing themselves and guys donating their brain to be studied, it's some serious stuff. And actually, I was talking about a neighbor the other day, and he really thinks that you know, people are going to tune out the NFL, and, you know, because of all this, and kids aren't going to play as much football. And I would maybe agree with the latter, that maybe some parents won't want their kids right. to play because of this, but I don't see any way in the world that NFL or college football or high school football is going to lose its popularity. I only think it's going to build. And in the pro game, a lot of that is, frankly, fantasy football and gambling,
which is
one and the same in a lot of ways. So, you know, that's going to just keep bringing in diehard fans that are going to get exposed to the game. And, you know, there's just so many people that love football. I think it's America's pastime, you know, when you consider all age groups. I don't think it's baseball anymore. Baseball is obviously popular, but football is on a whole other level.
Oh, yes, without a doubt. I mean, it is the game in America. It's so much. I know a lot of people who are this. We're starting to finally, it looks like we're finally starting to get a little bit of appeal to soccer. We used to didn't have that, but it seems like soccer is finally starting to grow in this country. I always thought that it might not ever grow, but it looks like it's finally starting to take off a little bit.
Yeah, you know, I feel like I've been hearing this for 30 years.
Yeah,
or maybe
me too.
Years. And I just think it, in a lot of ways, will do no better than hockey in terms of having a niche audience that's really into it, but not a lot of mainstream carryover appeal to casual fans. And, you know, maybe I'll be wrong, but I just don't see it. I just think, you know, with football, basketball, and baseball, I think those are more or less, you know, the mainstream sports, and it's just hard for people to have time to get into another sport. Maybe I'm wrong, but, you know, and I'm not even factoring golf or auto racing. There's just so much competition for your eyes, and now more than ever with Facebook and iPads and, you know, all that, there's just, you know, there's even more choices when you want to look at a screen, which we're all, you know, doing more and more on your phones and, you know, books on screens and all that. It's, you know, times are changing and it's, you know, competition is as fierce as ever.
Yes, it is. I mean, it's amazing how fast everything is moving and everything. And, you know, I was just thinking too, I mean, the Lions are, They're setting up themselves up to look like they're going to compete for the division title this year, and we don't know how if they can win the title or get in the playoffs this year like they did last year, maybe go a little bit further. But you know, still we got to see how good is this offensive line, and will Farley be a good defender? I mean, you know, he's gotten into trouble, and hopefully he'll be a good defender and help out Ndamukong Suh. But, boy, those are some questions that we'll just have to wait and see, I guess, once they get to camp, how they'll be answered.
Right. And, you know, they use some draft picks on defense. You'd think that some of those guys will,
yes,
will stick and contribute, and it certainly would help them, especially on the back end. They took cornerbacks, three of them, between the third and sixth round. If one or two of them can develop into a nickel or a dime type of, you know, candidate this year and then move into a larger role, that'll be big. You know, the key guy there in the backfield, I think, is Aaron Berry, a guy who is going to likely step in for the starting spot vacated by Eric Wright opposite Chris Houston. Aaron Berry has been okay when he's played, but his career has been stunted by injuries. And, you know, it's a tough sport to play healthy. When you're not healthy, it's impossible. And when you're hurt, you know, it certainly is more difficult, especially when you're 5'10", 185 pounds. So, you know, Aaron Berry, I think, is the guy to watch, who could, you know, kind of sink or swim that defense. Because if you've got a cornerback who just can't hold up his side of the field, you know, it really creates a lot of other problems when you're trying to compensate for that, whether it's dropping a linebacker or not sending as many guys or sending more guys because you're hoping that you just get rid of it, you know, or shading the safety over. Just when you've got a weak link at cornerback, it really creates a lot of problems.
Yes. How long do you think that Hansen is going to keep kicking? I mean, he still seems like he's a great kicker, but he can't have too many years left, can he?
You know, you'd think he's wrapping up, but he is as strong as ever. When you look at his numbers and his 50-yard kicks, you know, I just think he's conditioned himself so well and he's so mentally sharp that, you know, I wouldn't want to say when his career would be over. I mean, Nicholas Lidstrom decided to hang up the skates, but there's no way in the world you could tell me Nick Lidstrom couldn't have played for three or four more years at some level to contribute. I mean, he was still probably a top 10 defenseman in the world last year at the age of 42. So let's say next year he slips a little bit and he's a top 15, top 20 guy. I don't even know that you would be able to say that, but, you know, just for sake of argument, you know, he'd have to play for years before his skills would really diminish. But it just shows you something about him that, you know, he wants to go out on top, more or less, and wants to spend time with his family and live near his parents who are getting up there in age. You know, but there aren't too many people on the planet that would leave $5-6 million on the table.
That's for sure.
to go hang out with their family and keep their legacy intact of being, you know, a great defenseman even at the age of 42.
Yes, that's for sure. Hey, Larry, what about, I mean, I know you've got kids, I've got kids, yours at that age, but now are you concerned about them playing sports at all or playing or getting in there and maybe playing football? I can see more mothers saying that their sons won't be able to play football in the near future.
You know, that I have a son who is an absolute sports fanatic. I don't know where he gets it, but he's 5 and a half, just finished kindergarten. My daughter is a dancer swimmer, so she's out of the mix in terms of contact. But honestly, I think I would be taking something away from my son that I couldn't live with if I took the opportunity away for him to play football, because I honestly think in my life, playing football was one of the best, if not the best, things I did with my life in terms of what it taught me about, you know, teamwork and dedication and playing through pain and adversity and leadership. And I wouldn't want to take that away from my son just because I was worried about him getting a concussion. I mean, I can see why a parent would do that, but, you know, at where do you draw the line? Do you not let your kid drive because they could get in a car accident? You know, and that might sound silly, but, you know, being a man of faith, I would just have faith that he would be okay and get out of football what I got, if not more. And yet I do think participation numbers will go down because more families will say, you know, I'm not subjecting my kid to that risk. And maybe I sound crazy for saying my kid is definitely going to play football if he wants to, but, you know, that's what I'm saying today. And I know my wife's not crazy about him playing football, but, you know, she's not going to stop him or me in that department. So, you know, she's the boss in a lot of ways, but that's already been made clear that he's going to play football if he wants to, and I know he will probably when he's 9-10 years old, just like I did here in Ann Arbor.
Okay, well, we know that we might see more parents, like you say, more parents, you know, just being hesitant about letting their kids play football in high school. And that's the thing, too, Larry, that, you know, we got the sports now are so different from when you and I were growing up. You could easily go from sport to play. And now, you know, you almost have to specialize in one or two sports. If you get good, it seems like most coaches want that youngster to specialize in that one particular sport that they got very good at.
Yeah, I think that's a function, in my opinion, of parents trying to create scholarship athletes. I don't think you have to or should do that. I mean, I want my kid. My son literally plays on some level football, baseball. He's done after school hoops. That's basketball. He golfs with me. He swims. He's messed around with a lacrosse stick. And we're already over 5-6 sports. And when I was in 9th grade, I played football, volleyball, basketball, baseball. I mean, I certainly wasn't, you know, a college caliber athlete, but my point is I don't think parents should prematurely, at least, take away opportunities for their kids to play other sports and meet other kids in their community and have other experiences, as opposed to putting them in soccer, you know, fall, winter, spring, summer, hoping they're going to be a scholarship athlete. You know, that's my opinion, and I'm certainly, you know, not an expert in the field, but I think parents
too prematurely try to specialize their kids in a certain sport, in my opinion, in the chase for a scholarship, when they should be letting their kids, choose the sports they want or give them a variety of choices. Because, you know, I think it makes you, in some ways, better in other sports when you're just working on different, you know, muscle groups and hand-eye coordination and that and the like. And, you know, again, being exposed to other types of leadership and coaching and players and friends. And, you know, I love the variety I played. Now, when I was at high school at Pioneer, I only played football, but that was because I got cut from the baseball team. And in the winter, I wasn't quite good enough to do basketball, so I turned into a play-by-play community access guy because I always knew this is what I wanted to do with my life, and I was fortunate in that regard. But, you know, when I was growing up, I played everything, and, you know, up through the ninth grade, and, you know, wanted to do more after that but didn't quite have the talent.
Okay. Hey, Larry, I want to thank you for joining me. Always a pleasure talking with you, my friend. I know we got off to some different subjects, which is always good, but it was a pleasure talking with you, my friend, and I know I'll have you back on again soon, and we'll talk more, especially with football season coming up. You know, we'll be talking about those Spartans.
Yes, sir. All right.
Take care, all. Okay. Talk to you later,
Larry.
Bye-bye. Yep, bye-bye. And that's Larry Lage talking sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. 42 minutes after the hour of 1 o'clock. Stay tuned for more sports talk after this short break right here on AM 870 WKAR.
This is Neil Conan, host of Talk of the Nation. We hope you'll listen for live coverage of breaking news as it happens, for expert analysis that's insightful, balanced, and engaging. And we hope you'll call to join the conversations about the topics on everybody's mind. For all that and more, listen to Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
And that's Talk of the Nation coming up at 3 o'clock right here on AM 870 WKAR.
It'll be partly sunny today. We could get rain and thunderstorms, the high 88. Tonight, partly cloudy with a chance of rain and thunderstorms and a low of 71. Tomorrow, mostly sunny and windy with a high of 91 degrees and heat index readings up to 96. This is Scott Pohl.
And give us a call. Our lines are open, 355-9527 or toll free, 877-9527-870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. Well, let's bring in our next guest, Tony Ortiz, and talk a little football with the Lions. Tony is the sideline reporter for the Detroit Lions. And, well, the season is coming up on us, and, of course, the people are getting very excited about the Lions. So let's bring in Tony and see what Tony has to say. Hey, Tony, how you doing, buddy? Hey, Tony? And we can't hear him right now, so I don't know if he's guess we'll have to try to get him again. Yeah, we'll just try it again there. And we'll get a hold of Tony and talk about the Detroit Lions and what he sees in their future. It should be a very good year for the Lions. They've got a lot of players there, and they've drafted a lot of cornerbacks, so we'll have to see how that cornerback position plays out, because that was one of the weakest spots of the team last year. So we'll have to see how that goes or if that goes along this year. But, hey, you can give us a call, talk sports with us right here on AM 870. WKAR. Webb Simpson won the U.S. Open yesterday, the ninth player in a row to win the Open. I mean, that's something special. Nine different champions in the U.S. Open. So that was quite a surprise, but it's still going strong. And of course, Dale Earnhardt getting a win yesterday. But now we look ahead and talk Detroit Lions football. We'll look at see what they're going to do and talk with Tony about the Lions. And I sort of want to see how Riley Reiff is doing, the offensive lineman they drafted out of Iowa, who is a pretty good offensive lineman. And I don't know if he'll be he'll get the treatment this year, but let's bring in Tony. Tony, how you doing, buddy?
Good. What's going on, Earl?
Hey, KO, doing pretty good. Yeah, hey, how's that offensive lineman the Lions got from Iowa? Do you see him maybe moving into the starting lineup or just being a reserve his first year?
Well, actually, Earl, you've got Tony Paul, the Tiger's Raider.
Tiger. Okay. I thought it was Ortiz. Yeah.
Okay. No, Tony, I don't know where Tony is these days, but.
Okay. Yeah, because, we could talk about the Tigers for sure. The Tigers, it looks like they're finally starting to turn around. And they're starting to win. They've won three of the last series. Do you think this team is ready to make a good run to the pennant, do you see them basically still struggling?
Well, there's still a little ways to go, Earl. They did win the last three series, which is good. You know, that's the first time they've won three series in a row all season long. So there's definitely some positive signs there. They took 2 of 3 against the Reds, who are a good team, in the NL Central, and then they took 2 of 3 against the Cubs and Rockies. And they did that while losing, I think, the first game in all those series. So they really bounced back. So, yeah, they're definitely playing better. And I think one of the keys there is they're getting healthy again, and that's big. You know, you saw Doug Fister come back from the disabled list the other day and pitch really well. And he can help stabilize that rotation. And then Austin Jackson, of course, came back from the disabled list and has been on a tear since he's been healthy. So they're getting healthy. That's a big deal. If they can continue to be healthy, and with Andy Dierks coming back soon and Alex Avila, I think that this team's finally going to put the team on the field that they thought they would have to start the season, and maybe that'll help them get some momentum and win some more games. So yeah. It's early to say if they can turn around completely, but they definitely have a lot of talent, and I'd be surprised if they don't end up winning more games than they lose this year.
Yeah, and Scherzer, he pitched an outstanding game yesterday, striking out 12. It looks like he's riding his ship as well.
Yeah, no, Scherzer's a big a big piece of this puzzle because, you know, he has such good talent. There's no question about that. That's why, you know, he was a big part of that trade a few years back. You know, he has an electric right arm. The key with him is when he's struggling, he has a weird motion to his delivery, and he can easily get out of whack, in that regard, and, it kind of loses flow a little bit, loses rhythm. And so that's why you'll see him struggle with control a lot. But yesterday he had everything working and just absolutely dominated the Rockies hitters. He has an explosive fastball that gets up to the high 90s. And when he's on, I mean, he's tough to beat. I think he might even be leading the American League in strikeouts now after yesterday's 12K performance. And the key yesterday wasn't just the 12 strikeouts, but it was the no walks, which was even more impressive in my opinion. So he's a big piece of this team. And if he can find some rhythm and, reel off a few good starts here in a row, then all of a sudden you got Justin Verlander and you got Doug Fister. You got three starters there that can really blow you away. And, it's a whole lot easier to win games when your starting pitching is not giving up runs.
Oh, yes. Now, what about, as you mentioned, Austin Jackson's really starting to come around. Do they need the rest of those hitters? I mean, they've got Austin, and, of course, we've got Fielder and Cabrera. What about the rest of the fielders? Do you think they've got enough support from the rest of the fielders that they can hit well for the rest of the season? It seems like they're starting to hit for now for the most part, but, boy, it just seems like they have a lot of dead spots in that lineup.
No, you're right. I mean, they've definitely had some holes there this season. A lot of that's because, some guys haven't lived up to what they did last year. You kind of expected guys to perform at the level that they did in 2011, and it just hasn't happened. Brendan Bosch is off to a slow start. He got hot a little bit lately, but then had a rough series against the Rockies. Johnny Peralta's been up and down this season with the bat. Delman Young's been inconsistent. So these are three big hitters that they really relied on coming into the season, and they just haven't gotten it done. And that's been a big problem with this team because for a while there, it was basically only the top of the order that was delivering the runs, and then the rest of the order wasn't doing much. So, but you are seeing a few better swings from Peralta and Bosch. Even though he did go over 12, he did have some better swings. He had a good series before the Rockies series. And then Delvin Young's had some better swings, too. So, and once you get Avila back, if Avila can start, producing at the level that he did last year, I think that would be a big boost for this team. There's a lot of talent here. There's no question about that. But they just haven't meshed completely yet. They haven't found that rhythm. They have been a little bit better lately, and a lot of that's because of some other guys stepping up, like, Quentin Berry going 5 for 5 yesterday, or, Ramon Santiago had a big hit. So they're starting, and Gerald Laird had 3 hits. They're starting to get more contributions from the rest of the lineup, which is good because that's going to take some pressure off Cabrera and Fielder because for a big, a long while there, it was basically those two guys were the only ones doing anything in that lineup, and that's not a recipe for success. So they have the talent here, but it's just a matter of clicking, and once they get healthy, I'd be surprised if they don't.
Yeah, do you see this team getting better defensively? I know they've struggled defensively for most of the year. Is there anything that they can do to get better on the defensive side?
Well, they're just not a very good defensive team, and that's not really a big surprise. I mean, we all knew that going into the season. You know, when Prince Fielder was definitely a downgrade from Miguel Cabrera at first. Miguel Cabrera, even though he's been better than many expected he would be, he's a downgrade from Brandon Inge at third base. Johnny Peralta really hasn't looked that good at shortstop this year after being pretty steady last year. And then the corner outfield spots have been a problem this year when you've had Delman Young out there, Ryan Rayburn, and then Brendan Bosch. So this team's it wasn't built for defense, and they knew that going in. This team was built with big arms in the starting rotation into the back end of the bullpen, and it was built to score a lot of runs. So far, they've been a little inconsistent in those regards, and that's why you see them still a couple games under 500 here in the middle of June. They're not going to magically just improve on defense overnight. It's just not going to happen. They are what they are. The infield defense is just not very good. I do believe that they can get a little bit better in the outfield defense. Austin Jackson's one of the best center fielders in the game. With Quentin Berry starting to come on and really being a spark plug for this team, but especially with his speed, I would hope that the Tigers would consider, when Andy Dierks gets back, maybe moving Quentin Berry to right, have Andy Dierks in left. Then all of a sudden you have Dierks, Jackson, and Berry in the outfield. So then really you have maybe a subpar infield, definitely a subpar infield, but then you really have a good outfield, which is a big deal at Comerica Park. There's a lot of ground to cover. And then when you do that, maybe you move a Brendan Bosch into the DH role more regularly, and then that might be the time where they do shop Delman Young and maybe move him out of town. So they can get better defensively. Whether they choose to go that route, I'm not sure. We'll find out when Andy Dierks gets back here in the next week.
We're talking with Tony Paul from the Detroit News and talking baseball, the Tigers. It's been a long season. We're almost to the halfway point. We're just about to the All-Star break, which will signal if the Tigers, they're only three games out. So, they don't have very far to go just to climb back in there. But, boy, everyone is wondering, a lot of people thought we'd have a 10 or 12 game lead by this point in the season.
Yeah, that's true. I think, I think that was always a little bit unrealistic. When they did sign Prince Fielder, it was obviously a very good move for the Tigers in the short term because it took away, it took care of the void that losing Victor Martinez, it took care of the offensive void there. But, I heard people, before the season saying this team was going to win 105 games,
right.
They're going to win the division by 20 games. I personally never thought that, They won the division by 15 games last year, which was the most in baseball, the biggest lead of any team that won a division last year. And that just doesn't happen very often. I mean, that's a huge, huge lead. So I never really thought that they would go steamroll like that. I did think they would be in first place at this point, as most people did. And I still believe they can get there. I mean, you're looking at a division that's frankly just not very good. The Royals and Twins, I don't think are going to provide much competition this year, especially the Twins. The Indians, I think they have some nice pieces in place. They have a very good bullpen, and they have some decent starting pitchers, but I don't know that their offense is going to be enough to carry them through. And the White Sox are an interesting story this year because they weren't very good last year. They lose their manager. They hire a new manager in Robin Ventura, who had never managed at any level. He didn't even manage a high school game in his life. And he's the new manager of the White Sox, and he's really the polar opposite of Ozzie Guillen in that he's, Ozzie's very, high-strung and outspoken, where Robin Ventura is very calm. And I think that the White Sox players are really reacting well to that, to the calmness that Robin Ventura brings. And they have some nice pieces in place, too, with, Chris Sale, who the left-handed starter. He might start the All-Star game this year. Throws 95, 98 from the left side. He's very good. And then, they have, Jake Peavy's been better and healthy this year. And then the biggest story out of Chicago, of course, is Adam Dunn, his resurgence. He's already passed his home run and RBI totals from last year's disaster. So they have, and then Paul Konerko. So they have a lot of pieces in place. But I don't think their defense is very good either. They've been better than the Tigers this year, obviously. And I also believe that the back end of the Chicago rotation and also the bullpen, to some extent, is going to have issues as the season wears on. So I don't think they're going to run away with it by any means. And I believe that when the Tigers get healthy, this is going to make for a really interesting race really soon. And I don't know that any team's going to run away with it at this point until late in the season.
Yeah. Now, what do you think about the Tigers' bullpen? That's certainly been a problem throughout this year.
Well, it has. I mean, to a certain extent, it was a problem earlier in the year. It hasn't been much of a problem lately. In fact, I would argue, other than the disaster on Friday night when the bullpen gave up 8 runs in the 10th inning, if you look past that, and I know it's hard to do because that was ugly to watch, the bullpen's actually settled into place a little bit. And you're seeing, they have the injury to Octavio Dotel, which is not good. But what that's allowed is for people to really see what the young right-hander, Brian Villarreal can do. And he really has emerged as a quality setup man in the back end of that bullpen. I mean, he throws high 90s, getting a lot of swings and misses, and he's throwing with much more control than he had last year. Joaquin Benoit, I think, is still very good. He had a great year last year, off to a slow start again this year, but I think he's very good. He's come on lately. And Valverde, for the most part, I mean, you take away Friday night's debacle again, which I know you just can't do that, but if you do look past it, he's actually been pretty good lately. And then Phil Koch, I think, has been very good out of that bullpen. He's really given them solid innings from the left side. So I don't look at that as a huge problem at this point. It's been ugly at times early in the season. I do think they've righted the ship a little bit. So I think that, you know, they're not blowing the leads that they were early in the season. So I don't think that that's going to prove the problem long-term with this team. I think if this team's not going to make the playoffs, it's going to be because their defense is so bad and because their offense never gets clicking. Those will be the two reasons they don't make the playoffs, because I do believe their starting pitching is pretty good, especially if Max Scherzer can get on a roll. And I believe the back end of the bullpen, compared to the rest of the teams in the division, isn't all that bad.
Yeah, now, what about the players that they bring up from the minors? How do you feel about the Tigers' minor league system? Can they still bring up enough players? Because they've been, they've been holding them together. But what do you think about the Tigers' minor league system and the players they have in there?
Well, there's two stories in the Tiger minor league system. They have, a lot of good young arms down there for the most part, but they don't have a whole lot of position talent. So, I mean, if you look at it from the pitching, I think they have a decent depth down there. And you've seen that. They've been able to bring up Drew Smyly this year, Casey Crosby. You know, and they've performed decent. I mean, Smyly more than Crosby, obviously. And then Jacob Turner, their top pitching prospect, is coming up to start Thursday's game against the Cardinals. There's some decent arms down there, and you saw Villarreal come up this year. You know, Thad Weber came up again, and he wasn't very good his first time in Detroit this year, but he pitched really well in Toledo, so I'm interested to see what he does. There's a lot of decent arms down there. I mean, they're not the best system, in baseball in regard to pitching from the minor league perspective, but they have enough down there. But position player-wise, you've really seen how thin the Tigers are in that regard this season, because they had so many injuries to position players. Alex Avila, Austin Jackson, and Andy Dirks. I mean, it's one right after another. And, you know, there have been so many injuries that you're seeing them bring up guys that really don't belong in the major leagues. And that's Matt Young, who came up for a little while and really looked terrible. They were so desperate to bring up a position player, recently, that they called up a single A infielder, Hernan Perez, who is just, he's a single-A ball player. He's got a bright future, but he has no business being in the major leagues right now. But because the Tigers just don't have a whole lot in that regard, they just have to pick what they can, and that's why you're seeing them bring up Holiday, for a backup catcher. He's really not the top catcher in the system, but he's the only one that's really ready to be in the major leagues to some extent. But if you look at the lower levels of the Tigers minor league system, I think you're seeing a different story. And there is some position player talent down there. The last couple drafts, they've definitely focused more on position players. You're seeing Nick Castellanos, who you might see in Detroit as early as this September. He's one of the top position prospects in all of baseball. He's at Double A Erie now. And they have a couple of other young guys. They have some catching down there, James McCann. And then again, they focused a decent amount on position players in this year's draft, where they took their third-round pick was a position player, Austin Schatz, a center fielder from Texas. So you're seeing that they are recognizing that they're thin there, and they're trying to remedy that. But right now, there's not much they can do. They have some arms, but they just don't have a whole lot of help position player-wise. So if they do have issues later in the season in that regard, they're going to probably have to look for a trade to fill some of the holes.
Okay. Hey, Tony, I want to thank you for joining me. It's always a pleasure talking with you, buddy. Sorry we got a little mixed up there at the beginning, but we got it straight now. Hey, thanks a lot, Tony. We'll talk to you again a little bit later.
All right,
Earl.
Thanks a lot.
Okay, thank you. Yep, bye-bye. And that's Tony Paul from Detroit News talking sports with us right here on AM 870. Remember, we come your way Monday through Friday from 1:05 to 2 o'clock right here on WKAR. If you've never called us before, we invite you to become a first-time caller. Join us in the afternoons. Call us up and talk sports right here on AM 870. You've been listening to Michigan State University Radio, WKAR, East Lansing. Have a safe and a pleasant evening.
Thanks for listening to Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR.